Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Jesus sent a message to a church in Smyrna. He had high praise for them because, though they were financially destitute, they were spiritually rich. Saints in Smyrna were persecuted and even martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Accordingly, Jesus promised overcomers a crown of life and no harm from the second death. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his second message in his series entitled, The Coming King.
And then Jesus writes to the church at Smyrna. It says in verse 8, unto the angel, the messenger, the head pastor, the lead pastor of the church in Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And then the promise, actually the promise begins at the end of verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death. It's a twofold promise. And I will give thee a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So when you read this letter, you learn that this church was financially poor. He called them poor. And the word that he uses for poverty or being poor is destitute. It's destitute, bankrupt. I mean, no funds whatsoever. So they're destitute, but they're being intensely persecuted. He says to them, I know that you are poor physically, but you're really rich. You see, the value system that you and I need to have must come through a renewed mind according to the Word of God. We don't value things the way God values things, do we? Remember when the poor widow gave the two mites? Jesus has given the Olivet Discourse. Everyone else, you and I, are putting in our tithes and our offerings, so to speak. And this little widow puts in the equivalent of two pennies. And Jesus says she gave more than all the rest. They're probably thinking, what are you going to do with two pennies? But the principle was that what she gave cost her something. You see, that's a word that we don't like to hear in this day and age. Sacrifice and cost, do we? That's the real essence of giving. It's when it costs us something. And so God's value system is so far different than ours. Here's a church that was poor, and yet they were rich in faith. They were going through an intense time of persecution. Matthew Henry writes this, our Lord Jesus addresses himself as the first and the last. He is the first, for by him were all things made. He was before all things with God and is God himself. He is the last, for he will be the judge of all. As this first and last, who is dead and is alive, is the believer's brother and friend, he must be rich in the deepest poverty, honorable amidst the lowest abasement, and happy under the heaviest tribulation. Again, the Reformation Study Bible says, the message to the church in Smyrna encourages us that if men reject us, imprison us, and even kill us for being faithful witnesses to the truth, Jesus Christ will raise us from the dead, praise us for our faithfulness, rescue us from the flames of hell, and honor us with eternal life. That's the truth. This church at Smyrna probably was not a church that, if they had online services back then, if they had an app, please come to our church. Nobody in this church has any money, and we get persecuted for living for Jesus. No, that's not the kind of church you and I would choose to be in. And yet, this is a church that is alive, that God commends. It's the only church that he really does not rebuke them and the evangelical church. So what are the promises? What are the promises that the Lord gives to this church? Well, at the end of verse 10, as I said, we read, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Be faithful unto death. Be faithful. God calls us to be faithful. Amen? That's so important. Just be faithful. Be consistent, in season, out of seasons. We have seasons. The world around us have seasons. The people that we live with, the people that we work with, there's all kinds of seasons. The key is to be faithful unto Jesus in all of those seasons. That's the key to being an overcomer. He says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now, these saints in Smyrna, when they heard this, remember, they were being persecuted. There was even one of their own by the name of Antipas who was martyred. No, that was in Pergamos, forgive me. But there were many people that were being persecuted at this time. And Jesus says, you be faithful even unto death. I really believe that for many of us, it would be far easier if we were arrested for being a follower of Jesus Christ to stand against the wall with a sharpshooter, just say, shoot, just get it over quick. Right? Do it. That's it. The real challenge, and I know he's speaking of physical death here, is Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross daily. I think that's much harder than facing physical death. That death that takes place every day. Jesus says to them, the first and the last, you be faithful, and here's what I'm going to give you. Another aspect of eternal life. First, eating off the tree of life, and then I will give you the crown of life. The promise to those who are faithful unto death is that Jesus will give them the crown of life. I love this quote. The crown of life will be given to the life worn out in his service or laid down for his cause. Jesus Christ himself, who is faithful unto death, was crowned with life on resurrection morning. And Jesus promises the crown of life to those who are faithful to him. He doesn't say those who are popular. He doesn't say those who are famous, but those who are faithful. Faithful in little things. Remember when Jesus gave the parable on stewardship and handling finances? Remember when he gave that parable? He says, if you're faithful in little things, you're going to be faithful in much. That's the key. Stewarding what God's given to us, being faithful to him even unto death. You know, we read of many crowns that we will receive at the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, Paul likens to being in the body of Christ to a race that we must run to win. There's this discipline, godly, spirit-filled discipline. Putting on the new man, putting off the old man, this race that we're running. And he says, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So you watch the Olympics, and here are these individuals. They've trained hard, and then they get the gold medal, and then the silver medal, and the bronze medal, and they put the thing around, and they play the song, the national anthem. That's it. That's it. The oohs, the ahs, the wow. You don't get those here on earth. You know when you will get that? When you stand before the Lord in heaven. He's going to crown you with a crown of life. Paul the Apostle, at the end of his life, writes to Timothy. He's going to go to glory soon. He knows it. He says, the Lord has shown me that the time of my departure is at hand. And the imagery that he uses there, as if you're going to an airport and you're looking at the schedule of flights that are leaving, you know, and it's like 8 a.m. leaving for New Delhi. Paul says, I'm ready to take off. I'm ready to go home. You and I are going home one of these days. We're going to a city whose builder and maker is God. We are going there. We are headed there. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. And whatever it is that you're going through tonight that is a battle for your soul or for godly convictions, fight the good fight of faith, brethren. Fight the good fight of faith. He says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so we have this incorruptible crown that we're going to receive. We're going to receive this crown of righteousness. And of course, Christ is our righteousness. And there's another reference to the crown of life, and that pertains to right here on earth. How many of you ever get tempted? Can I please talk to some of you afterwards who didn't raise your hand? You must be in some kind of a coma or in denial, or maybe you need to get born again. How many of you know that you really didn't know what temptation was all about until after you got born again? Right? Then you know, wait a minute. This is not of God. This is not right. And the battle is on. You know, there are crowns that we receive here on earth. Now, I know so many of you here tonight, you blessed saints, you've battled over temptation and won. And you didn't come in here with a crown on, but the Lord said he gave you a crown. Notice what it says in James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Notice that there's a connection between these crowns and loving him. Loving Christ, being intimate with Christ, is a key to being an overcomer. Not only at Ephesus, but at Smyrna, or at Koinonia, or whoever you are. Intimacy with him is so vital. And he says, blessed are those that endure temptation. I will give them a crown of life. Now, notice the promise. He says, be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown of life. And then in verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Wow, the second death. The second death is mentioned in the context of the great white throne judgment. For those of you that are here, I don't think that that's a matter of concern. For those that are watching online, I don't know who may be watching online. It may be of concern. There are two final judgments. There's the judgment seat of Christ for believers, where you and I will stand before the Lord. And the issue is not going to be salvation or sin. The issue is going to be stewardship, where we will be held accountable. For the time, from the time we've come to Christ to the time we breathe our last breath, how we stewarded whatever he gave to us. And not only what we did, but why we did it. Salvation is not the issue, but rewards. Placement in the kingdom. Jesus talked about, in my kingdom, there are those that will be faithful over 10, over 5. I will appoint you over 10 cities, 5 cities. I'm not saying I understand it all, but from what I see in the kingdom, there is going to be a degree of how we serve in eternity that is based on our faithfulness here on life and on planet Earth now. We're all going to enter into the kingdom by grace through faith, but so he gave you and I time, finances, opportunities, talents to steward. And to the extent, and he intends that we multiply them for his glory, right? To the extent that we increase them, we will be given placement in the kingdom of God. But the great white throne judgment is in Revelation chapter 20. Every human being since the dawn of time, with the light that they had of the revelation of the gospel, those who rejected the gospel as they heard it and as they understood it and turned against the plea of the Spirit of God to come to faith in the prophesied Messiah to come, or the Messiah who had come, every one of them will stand before God and they will be judged upon the basis of their works. And not a single one of them passes the test. They experience the second death. The second death is eternal separation from God. Revelation 20, verse 14 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. The Bible is very clear that when we die, there's only one of two destinations. Either being with our God forever or being separated from Him forever. There's no middle ground. Now, there have been churches and false religions that have tried to invent these places like purgatory that isn't even in the Bible, or reincarnation that isn't even biblical. But when you die, that's it. It's appointed unto men whence to die, and then comes the judgment. You have to make your calling and election sure. You determine your eternal destiny here on earth. Death and hell, those who go to death, to those who die and go to hell, are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Now get back to chapter 20 because it contains a beautiful promise for you and I. Revelation 21, 8 says, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That's serious. Now look at verse 20, verse 6, Revelation 20. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. That's you and I have placed faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to be a part of the first resurrection. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We're a part of that first resurrection. Now, look at the second part of that verse. "On such the second death has no power." Amen? 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 "But they," you and I, ready for this? "They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. I'm looking at kings and priests who are going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I'm not saying I understand it all, but I believe it. They will not be hurt of the second death. Isn't this awesome? Jesus is telling this church that we're being persecuted. Many of them had given their lives. He tells them, "Because I live, you shall live. And you may die a martyr's death in this life, but you will never taste the second death. Not only that, you will rule and reign with me on earth for 1,000 years. Isn't it wonderful? That excites me. Now, I don't understand it all, but I do know that with the measured amount of time that I have and you have, I want to do, by God's grace, the very best that I can to be faithful to him, to love him, to be the wisest steward that I possibly can be of everything that he's given to me, because I want to stand before him and hear him say, well done, you good and faithful servant. I've given you 10 talents, and you will rule over 10 cities. I'll take it. I don't know what that means, but to rule and reign with Christ, if we live for him, we will reign with him. This is a promise. And you can be sure that when the pastor at Ephesus, at Smyrna, was reading this promise to those who had lost loved ones, that it was a source of such encouragement. They needed to be reminded that their death in the Lord was not in vain. Dwight Moody put it like this: he who is born once will die twice. He who is born twice will die once. We've been born twice. Amen? We've been born twice. We've had a physical birth. I've got a birth certificate. And I have a second birth. And I and you and all of those who have trusted in Jesus Christ are born again. One day we're going to eat of the tree of life together. Again, I don't understand it all, but I believe it, and it so excites me to think of what is this going to be like. And the promise that I will not ever have to face the second death, because Christ tasted death for me, even death for you and I now as a believer is only a shadow. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so Jesus would say to you and I tonight that he still is the one who holds the stars, the angels, the messenger in his hand. He still is the one who is in ultimate control. He still is the first and the last. Who was that and is alive. He's walking in our midst. When you get in your car and you're driving home, the Lord is going to be in that vehicle with you. Talk to him. Sing to him. Pour out your heart to him. Get used to talking to the Lord. Make it a habit of talking to the Lord. How beautiful that is. You know, how do you cultivate a deeper relationship with your spouse? By folding your arms and not saying anything? No, you dialogue, you talk, you communicate, you share one another's hearts. And this is such a blessing tonight. Christmas season. Christmas season is both my favorite and least favorite time of the year. Don't ask me to explain that. The commercialization of it drives me right up a wall. But the opportunity that it gives to you and me to share Christ with people is just incredible. Imagine eating of the tree of life, Michael. Huh? Can you imagine Jackie eating of the tree of life? I don't understand it. And the promise that if you are faithful, you will not ever have to face the second death. Death will be a shadow for you. So read ahead. Sunday morning, we're going to be looking at the church of Pergamos and then the church Thyatira, how Jesus introduces himself to each church, and then the promise that is given unto them. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you made any New Year's resolutions yet? Surveys say that most New Year's resolutions last less than 2 weeks. How does one achieve lasting personal improvement? God's Word tells us not to conform to the world around us. Instead, we are to allow His Word to transform us by changing our hearts and renewing our minds. Our goal is to behave as if we had the mind of Christ. We at Koinonia Fellowship would like to help you achieve lasting spiritual transformation. We invite you to join us in the coming year as we worship Jesus, study God's Word, and grow in Christ together.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotion by email. We welcome you to join us for our 10:30 a.m. service on Sunday. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Due to the holiday, there will be no service on Wednesday night. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.